What's so great about? What's so great about? Who? What's so great about? 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 Who? What's so great about? What's so great about? What's so great about? What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that is brave enough to really sink their teeth into a certain topic and figure out what makes it so great. My name's Terry.
And my name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry. And you?
I too am well.
I like that new intro. Very good.
I know you did this last week as well. You left off the glad to hear it.
I can't keep up. It's been so long. Glad to hear it, Terry.
Thanks. I like the new intro too. Came up with it right there.
Now, technically, if I can nitpick it,
yeah.
We're technically, I'm asking the question, what's so great about it? And you're telling me what's so great about
the podcast.
Well, I guess that ultimately figures out what is so great. I'm nitpicking this, yeah. But
why do it? Just leave it.
Great intro, too.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah. The bloody hell are you?
I'm good. A little bit tired, but I'm good. A little bit punchy.
How's the sleep?
Good.
Mm.
You know. It was one of those ones last night where it was, I'd barely gotten settled.
Yeah.
And a little patter of feet into the to the bedroom, and then I had to go back in and get her sleep. No, she slept through, but it was like 12 o'clock. So that's not the worst. It's better than 2 o'clock.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
that is better, yeah.
You know, because then at least I got a good 5.5 hours.
I find if I wake up at 12, I can get back asleep easy. But if I wake up at like 2, 3, I find it very hard to get
I'm
back
straight
asleep.
Back down, but then I'm like, I wake up in 3 hours, I'm like,
like Frank in old school, yeah. Like just pushing kids.
I'm like, whatever, I think it was 2 yesterday. And I was like, Bonnie hadn't woken up by like 6. And I'm saying, I hope she sleeps on for you. As soon as I get in the shower, you just hear like, hi, Dad. I'm like, morning, honey.
Hello.
Yeah.
They almost have an uncanny way of knowing when you've either just started something or whether you have just gotten comfortable, you know, or you've just put your fork in your dinner or something.
Dad, excuse me, Dad, can you help me with it? I'm like, yeah. one track and honey, stuff you a bit boring. Okay, what do we need to do?
Do you find that Bonnie asks you a million questions all the time?
Yeah, I like it though. It doesn't grate on me, unless it's like, or maybe it will. Well, unless it's like, again, like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, go to sleep, and she's asking questions. I'm like, I don't know.
Johnny will do that where she'll ask the most like, and I slag her about it. I'm like, what are you just asking the most boring questions? So I won't leave the room. Like, you don't even care what the answer to this question is. Where she's like, hey, what did you do in work today? And I'm like,
that's great for help, man. She just wants to spend time with you.
No, we've spent plenty of time. And then she'll just think of any conversation to keep me from leaving the room, so she doesn't have to go to bed. And there's like this meme, you know, where it's like every kid before bedtime, and it's that voice, you know, let me tell you something. Yeah. So she does that now. Let me tell you something.
That's good.
But,
we're not quite there yet.
No. When is she 4?
She'll be 4 in December. So 3.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know. Fuck. It's a lot of emotions. Was Joni like at 3? Was she?
No. You know? She's not. I feel like Mila will be, though. Joni was a bit of a cool customer.
It's now, it's like Bonnie can be a cool customer. I'm like, do you play with your friends in school? She's like, no.
Yeah.
And then like you talk to the teacher, it's like, oh, there's some pictures of her feeding the sharks ice cream with like her friends. And you're like, okay, yeah, all right. What game is this? But now since she turned 3, it's like, Dad, can I watch some TV? I'm like, no, maybe later on. You're like, we'll watch it later on. Like, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. You can't have, and she's like, breakfast TV? Like, no.
I'm definitely not a stickler with, when it comes to TV,
And want to be free. I want to be like, yeah, yeah, you can watch TV
whenever you want, as much as you want.
Yeah, exactly. Be like me. Yeah. Daddy's little girl.
I find that I found like with Myla, because the first 5 months were like, you know, intense, I would just have nursery rhymes on in the background. And I find, I don't know if you're like this, but like I remember growing up and like there wasn't cartoons on all day.
No, it was like,
you know what I mean,
you were lucky if you got
like, we've always got, if the TV's on, we've always got kid stuff until they go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rarely like, oh, here's a show that we wanted to watch, and yeah, the kids just have to deal with it. Like,
never happens.
Never.
Football sometimes.
Football.
And she'll like play away, and then but let me ask you what nursery rhymes. Myla.
Super Simple Songs.
Hey, my man. What's your favorite Super Simple song?
Great question. I think I'm associating how happy it makes her, but the happy song. This is my happy song.
You know what? I don't care for those little six friends or whatever.
The little sort of...
My name is Noodle.
Yeah. She likes them all, to be
honest. I don't know who I like.
Go on.
I like the little monster guy. Little purple monster guy is like, down by the bay.
Oh, banger.
That's the biggest banger. The biggest banger for me of two.
Please. Yeah,
is Mr. Golden Sun.
Yeah, June.
Of course, yeah.
June.
And the ice cream song.
What's the ice cream?
I said one scoop. One
Two scoop for me, please.
God, we're sad. Sad dads. By the way, this episode is the kickoff of our miniseries on the movies of Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
Today's episode will be Hard Eight. We'll get to that a little bit later. We're just going to have a bit of preamble to ease into it.
And to report on the sporting front, Man City won the fucking...
Giant, who cares?
Talk like, about... Have you seen some of the footage after...
And the like, people
dead
are like,
footage.
But like, there's that like, and it was like, oh, was that like the full time whistle? And it's like, yay! And it was like before the game, it was like the Man City fans like half empty, something going, and there's like the Inter fans like jam packed, like all singing in unison. I'm like, yes, like
that's how you
that's
do it.
That's it. Like,
I've never, I mean, bar.
It's so soulless, isn't it? Like,
yes, and I was gonna say bar. Andy's girlfriend, our friend Andy. I haven't met a Man City fan.
I've met a couple, but they were genuine.
Before,
like,
before the
like,
money.
Yeah, they were genuine Man City fans. So I wouldn't hold that against them. But it's just like, I was texting a friend of the podcast, Paul Egan, and we're like going back and forth. And like, he was like, it's not exactly like romantic. You're not like, oh, bloody hell, football, huh?
Yeah.
It's just like, what was it? I saw a tweet where it was like, the Man United treble is like overcoming every obstacle, the high wire act of it all, like Juventus, Arsenal, all that stuff. And this one is like somebody like filling out a requisition form.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, make sure I fill this in properly.
Yeah.
And like, put that over there.
It's still
an incredible
achievement, but I don't think it's an inspiring story. You know what I mean?
And also the whole like financial doping of it all, like the BT coverage, I'm sure you'll talk about this on your football show, but like the BT coverage was it was pathetic.
In what way?
Oh, they're just so sick of. Did you watch it on BT or did you watch it on?
I actually didn't watch it. I was on a date.
Oh,
night.
Yeah, I forgot.
Didn't plan that out.
it was sycophantic how like they were just like
the love in from
Man
City.
Yeah, like, not one mention of the financial irregularities.
Bizarre irregularities in his accounts.
And like they had Jolyon Lescott on as the third commentator, and he was like, oh, I'm so nervous. You know, like, are you okay there, Jolyon? You're hanging in there and all this. Like, and it was like,
can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What do you make of the CBS Sports Galazzo?
I liked them.
I mean, I would want, I mean,
but it's a bit.
It's very much unleashed. Like, they're all completely unleashed, you know.
But like, I also think there's a tinge of like, now, we have to be on. Like, you know, it's not like...
Do you think they're too on sometimes? Because for people who don't know what we're talking about, the CBS one is what America gets, and it's Henri, Carragher, Micah Richards, and Kay Abdo. And, like, every clip
she's
brilliant. Yeah. And, like, they're all... Like, I wouldn't change any one of them, to be honest. I think they all work so well together. Mika can get a little bit like, his questions just always revolve around, go on then, who's your favourite between all of us? Go on. You know? He's just like,
try it. Like, there was a bit at the end, at the post game, where it was like, talking about like Henri, and like Grealish was like, He's like, in your prime, do you think you'd get past?
Yeah.
And he's like every day. And he's like, and it's like, got nothing back. And he's like,
Walker didn't like that at
he's
all.
He's like, a bit cheap. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Never
meet your heroes, kids. Huh?
Getting his dick out in public places. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Only a few months ago. It was just so unlikable.
It was just, you know, like, obviously I'm biased. I'm a Man United fan. Like, the treble I hold very dear to my heart. But I also actually don't feel too threatened by it. Like weirdly enough,
there's an asterisk. I mean, again, also like also a rival fan talking about it, but like, I think there's an asterisk.
And like, I was talking to somebody and I was saying, like, do you genuinely think this team is the best team ever? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't even think it's the best City team of the last 10 years, but maybe that's just
they've had it's the best coach that they've had, obviously. Yeah. Like, and you know, I don't think they could do it without him, but
like, they looked off the pace for lots of this year. Like, you know, like,
God, I hate them. And I tell you, all this fucking Grealish shite.
Oh, my
I just keep
Lord.
Seeing, oh, he's still at it, Jack Grealish.
Hasn't slept in 3 days.
See anything of him being helped by Kyle Walker to his car? He had his hood up and shades on, like, being helped the next morning. But, like, the thing about Grealish is, like,
I hate him.
I accept that he's a good footballer. And I accept that he's like, oh, he's just like one of us. But I feel like I would hate him if I knew him. You know what I mean?
Like,
if he was in my life in any capacity, I feel like I would, like,
have the time for this guy. Like, I would not have the time for him at all. Be like, shut up, man.
He rivals you in the calf department, I'll tell you that.
Think he has good calves?
Yeah. He's got good calves. He doesn't have your calves. Oh, yeah. If I may.
Few do.
Is that all
right? You can't get that on the YouTube channel. Sorry, boys.
That's for the Patreon.
Yeah. I'm back on my bullshit, Andy.
Yeah. Come on.
Back watching Justified. New season, the spin-off Justified City Primeval starts in mid-July. So I'm trying to watch all of it.
Jimmy Oliphant in it?
Yeah, it's all about Raylan Givens. Okay. But did you watch the thing I sent you?
I watched it.
Ah, come on.
Yeah, it was great.
That's how to sell somebody on a show. Three-minute opening.
The first 3 minutes of season one, episode one. I'll tell you what I loved about it was the appearance of your man.
There's always time for a kiss.
Dorian from The Mask. Yeah. Where's he been?
That was probably the last high-profile thing
he's in. He is such a good bad guy.
He's such a scumbag. Like, if you remember him, he's in Training Day, and he's one of, like, Denzel's guys.
Oh, he's like, brilliant.
You shot me!
He's brilliant. He's got such a, like, you don't get
it's
those,
the perfect,
like,
casting for, like, okay.
They don't make those, like they had, like, 90s, like, he's clearly Scuzzball. The bad guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't have to say a word. You're like, okay, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And, like, granted, there is a lot of one-dimensional characters from the 90s that probably don't stand the test of time, but, like, when you just have an out-and-out, like, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I miss one dimension.
I'm all for three-dimensional characters, don't get me wrong. Like, and the, like, Walton Goggins as Boyd Crowder is, like, the villain that you're, like, but also I'm rooting for him, but I don't want him to win against Raylan, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's great. It's one of the great all-time characters, I think. But there is something to be said for, and this is what the show does well. They don't make it, like, every season. They do and they don't, sorry. But it's like every season has a theme running through it, or an overarching story. But they might take two episodes out to be like, Raylan has to travel down to the border of Mexico to pick up, you know, a dentist that's on a murdering dentist or something like that. So it's like real, like, Murder, She Wrote, you know, episode of the week. And like,
yes,
you say,
you don't have to have seen the whole.
No, you can just drop in, like, on some episodes, and it's brilliant. But then by the end of that episode, they'll sprinkle a little something in that's, like, going to drag you back to the main story of the season. Right. Fucking great, man.
What rating is it? What age rating is it?
I think it's like 15. You know, like there's lots of gun violence in it.
Sex?
Yeah, sex. Okay. Raylan gets his dick wet.
Does it? Yeah. Yeah, well, there's no need for that.
And, like, the great thing about it is, first of all, they say the word justified all the time.
Brilliant.
Because he's like, that shooting was justified, you know?
Looks like.
Because it's like the
camera.
Whole thing is like, you're a cop, but you kill everybody. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And he's like, everybody sees him with his cowboy hat on. He's like, what are you, some sort of cowboy?
I only want Timothy Oliphant in a cowboy hat, you know, or some
just
sort
watch
of
it, man. Like,
share. Like, on paper, it fits perfectly.
It is brilliant.
You know, but
And like, one of the best things about it is like, every time he goes into one of the small towns in Kentucky, he knows somebody. He's like, "Why, Raylan Givens, I haven't seen you since your daddy got locked up for beating up the local lawman." And he's like, "Ma'am, how are you?
I don't talk about that."
Well, but he had it coming.
I'll tell you what my problem is with it. It's too light, mood-wise, from what I've seen.
It
doesn't get heavy enough.
It does get heavy, though.
Does it?
It does.
Like Sky One 3 PM heavy?
No, like this. No, it's not like Relic Hunter or something.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Relic Hunter.
No, but it does get heavy in that, like, his relationship with his dad is like, his dad used to beat the shit out of him, and his dad is a criminal, and like, half the time when he's chasing down people, he runs into his dad and he's like, "You're a piece of shit. Like, you know, you made my life miserable."
I loved it. Like, I even loved Santa Clarita Diet.
I never watched it. I watched one episode.
I think it's good. I don't know. I've got mixed reviews. Certainly the first season I thought was excellent. I remember when season 3 was coming out, like, eagerly anticipating. Yeah. And I think I'm very much in the minority there, but like, it's fun. And Drew Barrymore is good. And
that's the thing. I'm kind of gone off Drew Barrymore lately.
I've kind of gone on her.
She's come back and she's... she made a big comeback with her talk show, and you know, she's like, you know...
She's got a talk show.
Yeah, that's her thing. Like, you know, she's like, you know, everybody's sweetheart, America's sweetheart
seen
again.
In the rain.
Yeah. We also seem that she's kind of lost her mind a little.
Yeah.
Like,
but embraced it.
Yeah. But you know who I do love from that show is he the neighbor or is he their son?
Son? The son?
Is it the son?
Yeah, he's the neighbor, yeah.
Skylar Gizondo is his name.
Yeah, he's funny.
He is so... He's in a PTA movie and he shows up as a little cameo for like 5 scenes in Licorice Pizza, and like, when he shows up, I was like, "Oh yeah, like,
this guy.
There he is." Yeah.
But there's like scenes in like Santa Clarita Diet where it's like... Timothy
she's
Oliphant's
like a zombie,
great.
Right?
She's a zombie, and she, like, the premise is just so good. Like, she dies, becomes a zombie, and she has to eat human flesh. But like, they're good, and they're trying to ethically find a way to get her food because she's starving and all this. And so it's just how they go about it and how they try and hide it, and like, it's funny. Like, they have some like disembodied head in the basement. That's kind of like, it's silly, but it's violent as
right,
well.
Okay.
It's good. It's a good show, I think. It's a good couple show to watch, I think.
We tried it, and then we just were like, "Nah." Kind of one episode. One episode, I think it was like, it's not really doing it for us.
Mm.
And I was one of the ones that, like, Tim Oliphant, oh, I'll go back to it. And never did.
It's good. It's worth it. But yeah, that's all. I mean, I've been watching nothing, to be honest, and I've been doing very much nothing. But we get into PTA. Is it too soon?
No, hey, never too soon to talk PTA, my friend.
Now listen, maybe I should have done this off mic. I was having a look.
We're doing the 10. We're doing the 10.
I was having a look. Now, let's just put it, folks.
There is no, you can't, with this guy, you
let's
have.
Let's put ourselves in the mind of the reader. Of the
you
reader.
Have to do all of them. Like, you have to.
You need to do that fucking dressmaker.
Yes,
one.
You do.
No one's seen that.
Yeah, everybody's seen it. It was nominated for like 10 Oscars.
Was it?
Yeah. It was his last ever film.
Is it?
Yeah. You have to do them all. You have to.
Lose one.
No.
Fair enough. Boogie Nights, great. Magnolia, great. Punch Drunk Love, one I'm looking forward to the most. There Will Be Blood, brilliant. The Master.
Andy, no, Scientology.
Phantom Thread. Now, here's the premise.
We're doing them
first
all.
Of all, starring Daniel Day-Lewis, so you know it's going to be at least 4 hours long.
We're doing
set
them
in
all.
1950s London, we're stars Day-Lewis as an haute couture. I don't know.
Haute couture.
Dressmaker.
Like, we're doing them all, okay? This is the thing. This is the thing. All right?
What have I done?
And
what have I done?
You need to see them all, okay?
You know,
need to see them all.
I'm like George when he got back with Susan. I'm walking up the metaphorical stairs. As soon as I'm up there, I'm thinking, what have I done? All right. Now,
tell me why.
I will say this. Right. When we did the series last time, the last few series that we've done, I've tried to keep it going. If you know what I mean.
What do you mean? Keep it going.
I mean,
open mind.
Like, my opinion, like, it doesn't matter. We'll get to it. But I have a certain amount of notes on it.
Perfect.
I've taken notes on this handy laptop.
Hey.
Anyway, look, we'll get to it,
further ado, why don't we get into the trailer?
Yeah, sure.
For Hard Eight.
If I were to give you $50, what would you do with it?
I'd eat.
How long can you eat? How long can you live on $50?
I don't know.
I would bet not very long. It's always good to meet a new friend.
Oh, you took care of him?
John is a very old friend.
I think he's pretty adorable, the way he follows you around and looks up to you.
Hello.
Hi.
I don't do anything that I don't want to do. You understand?
Says you remember, Jimmy.
Yeah!
His friend lives up there.
I saw you playing crap over at the original Doom. Bet the Hard Eight for $1,000 and you pressed it for $2.
Stupid bet.
He thinks you don't like him.
I don't.
I know some things about Atlantic City.
You walk around like you're Mr. Cool, Mr. Wisdom, but you're not. You're just some old hood.
Please do not put a bullet in me.
I love you, Sid.
And please don't tell John what I've done.
So you think what? That you can just walk through this life without being punished for it?
That is my hope. I don't want to die.
Philip Baker Hall, John C. Reilly, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Samuel L. Jackson. Hard Eight.
Now, Andy, I got this.
You've always got a big book, haven't you?
Yeah, man. A big book of stuff.
You're a booksman.
Now, I'm going to slide it over to you, just so you can have a look at what... Oh, how excellent it looks. Look at these glossy photos. Before we get into it, I know it's great for audio purposes.
Well, you should be watching on YouTube, folks.
Hey, but look at that. I mean, I want to hang these pictures up in my house.
It's good quality.
It's really good quality.
I'll tell you, I love the cover.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that.
I got some looks when I was reading it on the train yesterday. I was doing my notes on the way home.
Can I ask, can you still read, for want of a better word?
Yes, I can.
Like, do you have the attention span to read?
Less and less these days.
I find it very difficult.
I got a book from one of my favorite like pulp authors, and like I thought I would tear into it, and I really didn't. And I'm worrying for myself, Andy.
I don't like that aspect about myself.
I'm like top drama book guy.
Yeah.
And like even those ones, I'm struggling.
Yeah, we just have so much access to everything.
That's
you know
it.
I mean?
I'm like, take my phone away from me.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch 3 episodes of Justified a day. I mean, I do
very much, but
you know what I mean. Like,
I notice in this movie, he went by the alias of P.T. Anderson.
I mean, he was a young upstart.
Now, why isn't he just also known? I'm on his Wikipedia. Paul Thomas Anderson, also known by his initials, PTA. I mean, they've got it. It's the first line of Wikipedia, PTA.
But it's nomenclature. It's what people call him. New PTA movie coming out.
Nomenclature.
Yeah. You like that?
Oh, I do. But why isn't he just Paul Anderson? You know?
You have to ask him that.
I will ask him when we have him on.
What?
Oh, no.
You ruined the surprise. Hey, do you care for some boff?
I'd love a bit of boff, please.
It's been so long, right?
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. It's great to get the boff back.
It's great to be back.
All right?
It's great to be back. Care to guess the budget, Andy?
Can you give me the year that it came out?
1996.
First movie, 1996. $5 million.
$3 million. Estimated $3 million.
Am I within?
I mean, I don't know. We should set the parameters. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Yes. Back, baby.
Box office. Now, there is no opening weekend and domestic and international are the same because it's a very small independent film. It's not a studio movie.
Okay.
So just, I'm looking for a total. Box office total. Off a budget of $3 million. What do you think?
$15 million.
You think this movie made $15 million?
I don't fucking know. What was it?
$222,559.
What? So it's a flop.
Oh yes.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Okay. All
Okay.
Wow. Wasn't expecting that.
Something I'm going to throw in here. Care to guess the Rotten Tomatoes score?
Audience?
I will not audience.
I trust the audience more than the fucking critic score.
No,
I tell you
get
that.
Lost.
I tell you that for nothing.
You're one of these meatheads.
Yes.
The Flash has a 99% fresh audience rating. It's like critics are like 35 because it's terrible.
Now
I will tell you, it's fresh. Certified fresh.
What's that, 50%?
I don't know.
Or more?
I very rarely use Rotten Tomatoes, to be honest. But I just thought I'd throw it in.
70%?
82%.
I bet you didn't get that when it first came out. I got that after all those other ones came out. And they're like, it's cool
Let me tell you the tale of what happened to this. So, the post-production process on this film was quite fraught, Andy. apparently, after seeing a rough cut of the film, Royster Entertainment, who were the production company that, you know, backed PTA, they made some other good movies. They made Kingpin and Kiss the Girls, but they went out of business in 1999.
Okay.
The execs tried to take the movie away from him, and they fired him briefly, citing a wholly unmarketable and no way profitable film. PTA then cut off all communication with the production company and was fired briefly while they intended to submit their own cut of the movie to Cannes. And PTA kidnapped, quote unquote, the cut to submit it to Cannes himself.
And did he did he submit their cut?
No, he submitted his own cut to Cannes and ahead of time. So it's like,
it's very ballsy for a debut
first
director.
Time, yeah, first time.
At that point, what is he now? He's 52
he's
now.
He's 26, I think, when he makes this movie.
Jesus.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Of the incident, PTA has said they didn't read the script. All I could do was point at a script and say, this is what I shot, this is what you paid for, this is what you agreed to.
Yeah.
He initially wanted to call the film Sydney, and still refers to it as such. However, he eventually signed off.
I think Hard Eight's a better.
Yeah, I do too.
Option.
I do too.
And so the version that we see is
the director's
his version.
Cut. It's the director's.
Is there two versions?
Well, the other one, the studio cut, is significantly shorter, and they apparently a lot worse. but he agreed to things amicably by. They agreed to change the name to Hard Eight, but they would use the director's cut.
Okay.
But it did not stop Royster from butchering the release. In fact, they held it up for over a year before releasing. So it only came out in like 97, and in very few locations, hence the 222.
The numbers.
Yeah.
I'm just going to turn off that air conditioning. Keep talking, Terry.
This controversy, combined with the fact that Cannes decided to play the director's cut over the studio's version, played into Anderson's favour reputationally beyond Hard Eight's hard luck box office. It solidified his mythology as an emerging auteur struggling to create an independent vision in a system overrun by the meddling interference of money men.
So he basically became the martyr against
these,
a martyr-like figure
that
only helped him in his career.
They all thought this guy was some sort of wunderkind anyway, and then it was like, well, look what he has to put up with, these idiots that are meddling with his vision. It kind of played into his hands, the fact that he was now they've said history is written by the victors, because there's no real quotes of anybody from Royster to go against this. I'm sure he was not easy to work with. Apparently he was running over at budget, and he used some of the money that he had been advanced for Boogie Nights to film the movie, the director's cut.
He was already advanced for Boogie Nights.
Yeah,
he hadn't finished this one.
He was in the middle of doing this, but he made a short.
Whose dick was he sucking to get that deal? Huh?
He made a short film that got into Sundance in '93, I think, called Coffee and Cigarettes, Cigarettes and Coffee. I watched it on YouTube. Very grainy quality, pretty decent.
Okay.
And he'd also made a thing called The Dirk Diggler Story, which got him Boogie Nights.
Okay.
So,
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually quite interesting.
Hey.
I'll give you that.
I aim to please. So, the big question, Andy. How did you find your first PTA in over 15 years? General thoughts.
General thoughts, I didn't like it.
Oh. Oh dear.
Didn't like it
at all.
I thought, and you know what, I swear to God, I came into this one and I was like, ah, fresh season. And I tell you, I'm not gonna come in with arms folded like, come on then, play me this fucking thing. I was like, don't, great, like, get to watch a movie. I like movies now.
It is a real movie.
And I was like, my face is like this, like, for the first 10 minutes. It's like, ah. And then, like, 15, 20, 30, 40, it's like, oh. It was the same movie that I've watched a dozen times for this podcast.
What are you talking about? Boring. Oh no.
Fucking boring.
Andy.
First 10 minutes were good, last 25 minutes were good, and everything in the middle was fucking boring.
What?
There, I said it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's dig into it.
I think that your man, what's his name? Bookman?
Philip Baker Hall.
Okay, I'm just going to call him Bookman.
Sure. Call him Sydney.
Right, fine. He's a great actor.
So good.
But here's my problem. I don't think they had a strong enough lead.
John C. Reilly?
Yeah, I don't think he was strong enough at all.
Wow.
I don't think Bookman could Sydney. Hold it, whatever. Could hold the movie by himself because he doesn't talk a whole lot. He's got good presence and you listen when he talks, but...
You didn't think John C. Reilly was good in this?
I thought he was better than I expected a 1996 John C. Reilly in a semi-serious role. He was better than I would have expected, but I didn't think he was enough. I would have had someone else in that role.
Interesting.
You know, like, who would he have? I'm not going to say Timothy Oliphant. William H. Macy. If you had William H. Macy in 96.
He's a little old.
96 though.
Like 96 is Fargo, William H. Macy. Okay. So he's a little old.
Someone like that. A bit more of a... I get they're going for like a kind of a lovable loser.
Definitely type. Like he's a child, you know. Like.
Yeah. I didn't really like Gwyneth Paltrow in it.
I think that this is like probably my favorite Gwyneth Paltrow performance.
That's saying something.
She's really good in this. Like,
I mean... It just, like, I find I get to a point where it's like, this is pretty good. That's a bit slow there. It's a bit slow, this movie. Oh, I'm fucking bored. And then everything after that is like, that's shite as well. And that's shite as well.
Okay, well, let's step through it. So you liked the initial meeting between them?
Yeah, and that's the problem, because it was like, come to Vegas, I'll show you what you did wrong. And I'm like, yes, here we fucking go.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
that score when they're leaving,
the
hairs on my arm were standing up when they're like, it zooms in on like the two coffee mugs and like the score is rousing. You're like, here we go.
Yeah, and I thought the same thing. And little did I know that I was honey-dicked into thinking that that we're going to get some sort of casino caper sort of movie.
But you kind of do, like, in terms
do
of,
you?
You get like how he works the system, you know, that whole like,
nothing came of it. It's like, go there, get your rate card, swap it for coins, get the rate card, all that. I thought, okay, great, this is a good start. Now where are we going? And then as soon as he met Gwyneth Paltrow, I hated the Gwyneth Paltrow stuff, to be honest.
Why?
I thought that was really boring.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. Because I kept being like, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory?
What is the fireworks factory?
Just the fucking the fun, the laughs, the capers.
Look,
am I crazy?
No, I really like this movie.
Do you?
Yes, I really do.
I got a hint at the start that you were like,
this is going to be like in my bottom two, I think. And I had it in my head being like, of the 10 movies, now, this is going to be like 9 or 10 for me.
Can I ask you, if this is in the bottom two, let's scrap the other one that you conceivably would have in the bottom two.
Because it's one I've only watched once and I liked it, but like... what is your aversion? It's only 1 week more. What is your aversion to it? Like,
I know that the movies get longer than this. This was... And I'll tell you
something. Hour 40.
I'll tell you something else. I was watching on that link you sent me. Now, thanks for the link. But I wasn't going to get torrents on my new shiny new laptop. This thing... Do you watch movies that stop every 5 minutes and reload?
No.
I think they do. Because I was watching something with you before and it didn't bother you at all that it kept stopping and giving me that loading circle. And I'm like, Oh, I'm looking at you. Relax, I'll be back in a second. Like,
you know, there's like four different links at the bottom you can click on.
No, I didn't know that. All these porno pop-ups kept coming up.
So, like, if one is slow, just click on the next one.
Shouldn't have to.
It's free.
There's no way to watch a movie.
You can't. The DVDs are so, like, you can't buy it. Like, it's like $100 for DVDs.
That's scam.
Well, they're out of print, man. They're out of print. What do you think of Samuel L. Jackson?
I liked Sam Jackson in it, but it was very. I feel like he plays a lot of the same character in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Kind of like sleazy hustler. Like, I knew exactly what I was going to get from him. I didn't get anything new off him, I suppose.
Yeah, but...
You know, it was good, though. It's
hard,
Sam Jackson.
It's hard, I guess, because, like, at the time, like, you wouldn't have seen this 100 times already.
Yeah.
If you get me.
Yeah.
It's...
This is probably his first one of those kinds.
No, not really, like, because, like, Pulp Fiction's 2 years earlier, like, yeah. So, you know, he kind of... He's definitely the biggest name attached to this movie, even though he's, like, the fourth lead.
Very surprising that they went with your man, the old Sydney, as the...
Well, that's the story, though, like, you know, like, that's, like, he's... Philip Baker Hall is in the short film that this is based on.
Right. That's how he fucking landed it, then.
Well, and obviously, like, he's in the next two movies with... Paul Thomas Anderson as well.
He's a great bit part character. I thought there was too much of him in this one.
Oh, I loved it, because, like, you're not going to get to do this all the time. So, like, yeah. that's why it's so good to see him. Just even, like, we're going to get to the best scene in the movie right now.
I actually don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, come on!
The end.
Right in the middle of the movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Why is that the best scene in the movie?
Because it's the best fucking scene in the movie, man.
I've got a little bee in my bonnet.
Oh,
Terry,
Andy.
With Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh,
I've had it with him, Terry. I have had it with this universal acclaim that he gets.
Best actor of our generation, of our time. 100%.
No, he's not.
He is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Well, that's very subjective. It's subjective. Yeah. It's not
in
yes
my opinion, Imho.
Okay. I'm sick of it. Frankly,
he's in five of these.
I know he is.
He's in most. He's the guy he's worked with the most.
I'm just, you know, he's
well,
fine.
How can you look at that scene and be
I wouldn't
like,
have thought, wow, that guy is fucking. I would have thought.
You're kidding me.
I thought that was like a troll.
Like, literally, the,
sort of.
The chapter that they write on, the first three pages are all about that scene.
Why?
And how it's like the inverse of him.
Yeah,
like
the opposite of
yeah, but also like probably maybe what he was kind of like when he was younger, and like he sees the fact when he loses,
yeah,
he doesn't say it and then walks away, and it's like he just has contempt for himself and probably sees a lot of what he was when he was younger.
I feel like he does that throughout the whole movie, though.
Yeah,
he
he hates himself. Like,
yeah.
He hates himself. Like, the whole thing is that, you know, he is carrying around this big weight. He shot John's father in the face. And that's why he's like helping out John C. Reilly.
Folks, I don't know if you've seen... You probably haven't seen this movie. So I don't... Like, I'm conscious of getting too granular.
I mean, the plot is...
But...
Like, Philip Baker Hall, Sydney, takes John C. Reilly.
You tell me the plot, and then I'll tell you what I think the plot was.
Okay.
Okay?
So Philip Baker Hall takes John C. Reilly to Vegas, takes him under his wing, teaches him... The tricks of the trade
starts to,
and then, well, if you look at, because they do a time jump, and it's 2 years later, and he is an accomplished gambler, has money, is not a bum carrying his clothes around in a plastic bag like he was at the start of the movie, and then we are introduced to Clementine, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, who is a cocktail waitress that Sydney is very fond of, and her and John seem to have some sort of relationship going on. We're also introduced to Jimmy, Samuel L. Jackson, who seems like a bit of a shady character that is a bad influence on John, kind of. Then, about midway through the movie, there's an incident where Clementine has been kind of being a hooker, and there's this whole thing where somebody hasn't paid her, John has assaulted him, and it could be big trouble. So they kind of have to leave. And it turns out then the reason why Sydney was so protective of John and helping him was that he had killed his father in Atlantic City many years ago, and Jimmy tries to extort him at the end. What? Like, it's not a plotty movie.
Here's what happened. No, it's not a plotty movie.
It's character study, man.
Here's the movie, folks. Save you from seeing it. It starts off with great potential. Old guy sees young guy down on his luck, says, I'll teach you how to, you know, win money in Vegas. So straight away you'd be thinking, great, let's fucking go. And then it just goes 2 years later, and you know, here's my problem as well. It went 2 years later, and then the first time you see their new bonded relationship, it's like, hey, this is Jimmy, Sam Jackson. He's introducing them to Sam Jackson. I'm like, let me see that you have this bond, rather than just straight away, oh, I guess they're close now, and here's this guy Jimmy. And then he just happens to talk to the waitress, Gwyneth Paltrow. He seems to like her, but not in that way. Then he's kind of helping her out with her problems for about, what, 2 hours, 45 minutes of the movie. And then she ends up riding someone, goes wrong. He tries to help out. He gets into a possible situation with Sam Jackson, but he resolves it fairly quick. The end.
You know? Dickhead. Like,
that's it.
Like... Obviously, like, he lives... they're both professional gamblers. Look at you! The fucking cat that got the cream. Like, dumb over there. Can't well.
This is what... This is the show.
Yeah, I know, okay. But, like, also...
I'm going to give you my honest opinion. And I'm not going to dial it back if we have a guest either.
Okay,
I'm not going to pretend I'm smarter than I am
when
we have
a guest on. I don't want you to.
Okay, you're getting unfiltered.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're the shame.
I've had it! Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Okay. So, I want to go back to the Philip Seymour Hoffman scene. Like, how are you not, like, that's electrifying. Like, him, he improvised most of his lines, and it's literally just, like, do you not find, like, oh my God, this, I'm completely drawn to this guy. I don't wait for old timers. All that stuff. Like,
I mean, I feel like if that wasn't Philip Seymour Hoffman and if that was someone else delivering the exact same performance,
it wouldn't be the exact same performance because they're not Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I'm just a little bit tired of the Philip Seymour Hoffman posthumous ass kissing that the world
but it was
done.
Going on.
It's
at the
time.
It's
the same with Heath Ledger. He was good. Philip Seymour Hoffman, very good actor. I wonder now.
By the time we get to the Master,
maybe
are you gonna be like, I was wrong, Terry.
This is the arc now of this series. That well, I was wrong about Gosling. I was wrong about Marvel, and then was proved right again. But throughout the series of the pod, I was wrong. Pretty much most of them that we've done, I've done a bit of a U-turn on.
Yeah, Nick Cage. I mean.
Nick Cage I already liked, and I liked him, I appreciated him on another level.
You liked him ironically, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, he's crazy. Yeah. But he's actually, there's method to his madness. And with this one,
Wes Anderson
maybe
as
the
well.
Arc will be, oh, Wes Anderson, 100% I've done a U-turn on.
Mm.
Although I still roll my eyes a little bit. When I see this trailer for
Asteroid City,
I'm like,
apparently it's his best one in years, they said.
The best one in years?
Yeah. Since Grand Budapest, they're saying like it's his best one.
Was it Grand Budapest, French Dispatch, and
Grand Budapest, that? Isle of Dogs, French Dispatch, and then this one.
Isle of Dogs is good, wasn't it?
Isle of Dogs is so like meh and possibly racist as well.
Was
like,
it? Yeah,
lots of like Asian appropriation going on.
Oh,
in the
right,
movie,
yeah,
like,
of course. Yeah. Oh man, I think out of all the movies that we've reviewed, my two most hated were French Dispatch and I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Mm.
Charlie Kaufman one and that one. Mm. And this one rang somewhere in the middle.
So was there anything you liked?
Let's
dig into that a little bit.
I liked the stuff where stuff happened. I liked when Jimmy, Sam Jackson's character, suddenly became a bit of a scumbag. And
he was always a bit of a scumbag.
Yeah,
right?
But where you finally see what he's... You kind of assume, okay, he's probably going to be a bit, you know, of a shady character, and then you see why at the end, where he's like pulling a gun on him, and he's, you know, all the like. I thought that was good. I thought the opening had promise. I liked some of the scene where he's helping him out in the motel room and all that. Like that was all right. I wouldn't have I wouldn't have thought of the Philip Seymour Hoffman thing. If you if like give me 10 guesses, I would have been like the diner scene at the start, the motel scene.
Do you not even think with that bit where he's like he's going on and he's like 44?
It's too much though.
No, but that's the whole thing. Like he's like when he bets the stupid bet because the hard eight is the hardest way to win. Like you know, you, with the easy eight, you can win 2 and 6. You know. 5 and 3 four, whatever. Yeah, exactly. And the fact when he gets the heartache, like Philip Seymour Hoffman being like, oh, like he's like, well, fuck you, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm with you all the time, and me and you. He throws 100 in, and like, and then when he loses at the end, he's like, all the bravado, it all is just washed away, and he's like, you know, even as if like I'm after hurting my shoulder throwing these dice, and he's like, hey, old timer, big time, I'll buy you a drink, like, you know, even though drinks are free in the casino, like all that stuff where you're like, oh, like this guy is full of shit from minute one.
Yeah.
And then you can see at the very end, like, there is a human there behind
him. Okay,
watch it again, man, honestly.
No chance.
It's like 3 minutes on.
Oh, the scene.
Yeah. Sit down and start the movie over again.
No, no, we're going to go ahead and watch that again. Stop the recording. And we're going to do this again next week.
There's a projector right there.
And you're going to bloody like it. Well, look, I'm conscious of time.
What are we at? Okay.
Can I give it a rating?
Yeah.
Is there more you want to say about it? I'm not apologizing.
No, you don't have to apologize. What did you think of the decision at the end? For like Jimmy, he hits the hard eight while Sydney is like waiting in his room for him.
I like that. I thought that was the best part of the
film.
And
like the fact, the way he kills him is like shoots him like 10 times.
Yeah.
Like, and then you're like, oh, like Jimmy was fake pretending. You know, like he's not a tough guy.
Yeah.
The real tough guy is Sydney.
Yeah.
And like even when Jimmy has the gun on him, Sydney's like, please don't shoot me. You know, like, I'm not going to give up my life. You know, like,
I liked all that.
He's like, he gets pathetic to get out of it.
Please, you know.
Don't tell him,
he's been so cool the whole time.
Exactly,
yeah.
Like.
You know, I was disappointed. You know, I felt like I was, it felt undercooked, the movie. It felt like I wanted to see more with Sydney and John C. Reilly. There wasn't enough between them for me. It was mostly him and Clem. And it was just a lot of, it's just a lot of silence. You know what I mean? There was a lot. I'm very much a fucking.
Andy, I'll tell you, like, this is like a first movie. You know what I mean? Like, you can see, like, the shots in this of like following him through the casino and like he uses all this, like, it's like building blocks. And in Boogie Nights, it's bigger. In Magnolia, it's bigger. He kind of brings it back down for Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
Then There Will Be Blood. It's like fucking insane.
And I've seen, I have actually, I don't really remember.
You said you had seen the cinema, There Will Be Blood.
I did.
And I was very jealous of you. It took me like years before I got to see it on the big screen.
I found it a bit long
top,
at the time.
Top three movie for me, buddy.
Of all time?
Hell yeah.
Ooh, okay. Look, I'm aware that I'm not giving you the discourse that you so crave, but I'm this.
This is the marker.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you going to give it?
I give it a 5 out of 10.
Okay, I'm going to give it an 8. This, of all his movies...
That's your bottom two.
Yeah, of all his movies, like, this is like a B+. And I think the rest of his movies are like A+, A-.
Wow, is he your favourite director?
Yeah, he's my guy.
Okay.
He's my guy.
Okay, wow.
He'd be up there with like Scorsese, you know, for me. Like, but like, he's the guy I'm like, I can't, what's the next one?
More than anyone.
Yeah. Like, what's the next PTA going
to
be?
You have a choice to go see the next Scorsese, Anderson, or PTA. You go PTA. Like, they're really, all out on the same day.
Really depends on what.
Blind. You don't even know what it's about.
I'd probably go PTA.
Okay.
Probably would go PTA. Just because... Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, probably PTA. I'm most excited when I hear, what's he doing next? Like, you know?
Okay.
And then Scorsese, then Wes Anderson. But like, Wes Anderson for me wouldn't be...
You wouldn't be
on
like,
the Mount Rushmore, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I love him, but like, he's not.
He wouldn't be in your top three directors, probably not.
Probably not. Top 10, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not that you even have a top 10. We're so different. I didn't even read any of my notes.
You're too busy giving out, man.
I enjoyed it though. Yeah. That was an enjoyable release.
Yeah,
for me.
That's what it is. All about the discourse.
Yeah. It's a shame I had to get through this movie, which stopped 50 times when I was trying to watch it. I was trying to watch it a bit, finished it in work there on the laptop today.
What did we say?
I don't have the time.
You do. You tell me. 8 to 9:30 is your time.
Yeah, well.
Split it up. Like Boogie Nights is like 2.5. Split it over 2 nights. I'm begging you.
I'll be splitting for a week. I'll start tonight. Anyway, should we get our plugs in?
Sure, yeah, okay.
Where can they find us?
You can find it. Wait, I'm asking you. Where can they find us?
Oh, you're really, the social media finding guy. Our groove again. Yeah. You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. You can find us on Twitter at WSGApod. You can also, if you're so inclined, we've started back up our beloved Patreon. You'll find a link to everything in our Instagram bio. And check out our Patreon. We occasionally have thrown up some free Patreon stuff on the feed. So if you do like that sort of stuff, please sign up. It's only $5.
And it's going to be loosey-goosey, I think, for the first few. We haven't settled on a format yet for the first few back. We normally post polls over there or let the patrons drive what they want to hear us talk about. So if you want to hear us talk about something particular, all you have to do is sign up for €5. And
we almost certainly will do it.
Absolutely. If you're paying us, we will do whatever. Also, why don't you give us a rating or review?
Please.
Over there. Like, you know, in this movie. In this movie, John wanted $6,000 to bury his mother. We didn't even talk about that.
Oh yeah.
But I don't want a 6-star review. I'm not, this isn't Just Eat. I want a 5-star review, Andy.
Did they do 6 stars?
They do 6 fucking stars.
That's perverse.
Yeah, that is perverse.
For fuck's sake.
Give us a review, or if you're on the old socials, tag a friend, tell a friend, you know, say we're great. Do a bit of work for us there. You wouldn't mind.
If you wouldn't mind, pal. Yeah,
you know, spread the good word.
I tell you, I'm very much enjoying being back. And
it's great to be back.
Sometimes I forget what we are doing. I mean, I'm like, what do we say here? Or, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm very glad to be back.
Iron sharpens iron.
Exactly. And we got a very good response since coming back, so thank you very much. It's great to see people actually happy to hear from us.
Yes. Also, you can get Andy over on his YouTube channel.
Hey, if you're a fan of football, I got a little YouTube show going on at Andy Cantwell. Check it out, and on social and all that stuff.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheBoyToner, and I think it's TerryToner22 on Instagram.
It is.
I'm normally just plugging my show I do on 8 Radio. Yeah, I'm on Wednesday, Friday, Sunday for, you know, an hour or two, depending. But yeah, you can catch me over there.
Boom.
Yeah, I will be plugging.
You were.
And so that's it for this week. I guess next week we're maybe doing Boogie Nights. We're waiting on scheduling for friends of the pod. So it could be a loosey-goosey one next week.
Yeah.
You never
either
know.
Either loosey-goosey or Boogie Nights. But what if you want to watch along, give Boogie Nights a watch.
Do it. You won't be disappointed.
Then we'll talk about it either next week or the week after.
Wait.
I went into the shop one day to get an ice cream treat. 'Cause ice cream is my favorite thing to eat. So many different kinds to try, so many kinds to see. And when it was my turn to say, how many scoops for me? I said, one scoop. One scoop for me, please, one scoop for me. I went into the shop one day to get an ice cream treat. 'Cause ice cream is my favorite thing to eat. So many different kinds to try, so many kinds to see. And when it was my turn to say, how many scoops for me? I said, one scoop, two scoops for me, please, two scoops for me. I went into the shop one day to get an ice cream treat. 'Cause ice cream is my favorite thing to eat. So many different kinds to try, so many kinds to see. And when it was my turn to say, how many scoops for me? I said, one scoop, two scoops, three scoops. Three scoops for me, please, three scoops for me.
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About? The podcast that dares to really narrow in on a certain topic and figure out what makes it so great or not so great over a certain level of... God damn it! Like, no, got it, yeah.